10 minutes after 5 o'clock here on a Friday. And time to head to Boston and check in with our friend Mike Giardi of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mike, good Friday afternoon.
And you.
Let's talk Red Sox here and all that went on off the field last night. What does the dust-up between Wade Miley and John Farrell mean for the future of either of those guys and maybe this Red Sox team?
Yeah, not a good look for either guy. And, you know, John Farrell in the last half hour or so has come out and said that was unacceptable and will not be tolerated. But that was right after he said, you know, how he admired Miley's tenacity and competitiveness. So basically to me, that's not 24 hours late, but close to 24 hours too late. That's what he needed to say last night. And it just makes you wonder if he's commanding that room. I mean, that's a fair question. If you've seen the way this team has played and the way at times they've just seemed to lie down, that's not the sort of trait that you want in your baseball team, and that usually indicates, well, I mean, obviously there's a problem with the players if they're willing to do that, but obviously it also indicates maybe they're not fearful of the manager enough, and that was one of the things that they pitched to the media and the fan base when they hired John Farrell is, you know, here's a new sheriff in town. He's not going to let what happened to Terry Francona those last couple of years happen under him. The pitchers are afraid of him. Well, Wade Miley wasn't afraid of him last night, and I think we've seen other instances, even relating to, you know, Clay Buchholz saying he didn't really have a ton of respect for Juan Yepes. That falls under Farrell's watch, so it's not a good sign for John Farrell, that's for sure.
No, the new sheriff in town looked more like Barney Fife last night.
You never want to be compared to Barney Fife.
No. Well, we asked this a few moments ago here. Who's the guy on this team? Who is the leader? Is there anybody on this team that, in the absence of leadership from the manager, can step up and try to bring some order into this clubhouse?
Yeah, there isn't one. They are a cliquish team, and those cliques formed right in the beginning of spring training. And I think, you know, Pedroia is a guy who wants to play hard and let his actions be his role of leadership. And he's, you know, he's not that he's shy about being vocal, but I think it's a different scenario when you're front and center as opposed to being one of the guys. And I think David Ortiz is another one who can at times be vocal, but when you're hitting .160 in your last 25 games and you're being benched against lefties now, he's not carrying the same clout that he did either. And you know, when they had that little meeting with the quote-unquote the leaders of the team, I felt like they brought in Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez just because you're paying them $95 and $88 million. I mean, Hanley Ramirez is no leader. He's never been a leader. And he's one of the problems in terms of chemistry and one of the problems in terms of lack of energy that this team has had at points. And, look, I know people will point to his numbers, but there's more to it than that. So I think they're a team that's without one. And that's a stark contrast to what they were in 2013 when – not only did they bring in Farrell, but they went out and got veterans who had won before and veterans who played hard and didn't necessarily tolerate laziness or that laissez-faire attitude from some of their teammates. And, you know, Johnny Gomes is no great baseball player, but he was important in that clubhouse. And Shane Victorino, who was obviously broken down since, was important in that clubhouse. And there were a bunch of guys like that, and it all came together. And now they've gone in a different direction, and it's clearly not working.
If you're looking for a high point, one of them has to be Junichi Tozawa out of the bullpen. But in the lineup, it would have to be the development of Xander Bogaerts. Where do you stand on his ascension?
Absolutely. And I think that there were a lot of people that were quick to write him off. And I think, quite frankly, they screwed him up last year. I think the Stephen Drew thing messed with his head. The whole thing wasn't played out very well. I think here he came into camp. I mean, the one thing is he came in a little bit lighter, so I think he hasn't necessarily driven the ball with the type of power that you expected to see from him, but you're starting to find that now. And, again, start to warm up, too, and in warmer weather. Kid from Aruba, I mean, it matters. People can't dismiss that factor, but I just think he's growing more and more confident. I think he feels good at shortstop now. He's certainly playing the position a lot better. And at the plate, there's a more confident approach. You're seeing a lot more of him barreling up the baseball. And those people that were ready to write him off after last year or even a slower start this year were crazy because there's just a lot of talent there. That kid is he's a player, and he's going to be a player in this league for a long time.
Mike Giardi of Comcast Sportsnet New England with us here on Downtown. Well, let's go to the flip side, the opposite of John Farrell, Bill Belichick, who put the beat down on Malcolm Butler on a voluntary OTA. Did Bill Belichick go too far on this one?
I don't like the penalty. Now, look, OTAs, in terms of the grand scheme of things, don't mean a hell of a lot. However, the voluntary workout has everybody showing up. And a voluntary workout, a guy being late for a voluntary workout means you're going to hold him out for 6 days. So it's kind of a mixed message on the importance of the OTAs. And I just look at it from the standpoint of, okay, during the season, we've seen guys be late. Darrell Revis last year, don't come to practice, buddy. You're late. That's it. Sorry. In the past, Adalys Thomas, Gary Guyton, Randy Moss, those guys in the snowstorm, Brandon Spikes, all not allowed to practice. And in Spikes' case, eventually you're going on the IR because we've had enough of your act. But in this instance, it just seems like it's too severe a punishment. I know in talking with a lot of people, maybe Malcolm was celebrating too much. Maybe he enjoyed being the Super Bowl hero. Talking to the coaches, talking to some of his teammates, they said he worked his tail off this offseason. He knows there's a huge opportunity in front of him. So I don't know how you can turn around, regardless of how you feel about OTAs, and say the punishment fits the crime. I don't think it does.
Evan Mathis, released by the Eagles a couple of days ago. Do you think he's a fit in New England?
I would take him in a heartbeat. The thing about Evan Mathis is still a very good player, 34 years old. He's making 5.5 this year for Philly and 6.5 next year, and he wanted more money. Now, I don't think the Patriots would be the ones who would pony up that money. I could see an instance where one-year deal, incentive-based, sort of a Brian Waters type with an option for a second year and play it out that way because, look, they have an issue right now in the interior offensive line. Again, it's still very early. We don't know about Dan Conley, who I know both sides want to work out something, but they're apart on money. So as long as that goes on, you got to start looking at the options and say, well, you're lean on the inside. You don't want to move Marcus Cannon back in there because he couldn't play the position last year. And talent like this just doesn't fall out of the sky very often. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kick the tires on it. It's just a matter of how much money, does Mathis want the most money possible? Because if he does, he's not going to get that here.
So now that the Patriots released Tim Wright and the Logan Mankins deal is a wash, is their tight end depth sufficient enough to take away from a guy who caught, what was it, 5-6 touchdown balls?
Yeah, I just don't think that, and you saw it, I think, his biggest impact was in Week 5 against Cincinnati. He had the 2 touchdowns and was essentially running free because Gronkowski became Gronkowski again on that game. I don't think he ever had kind of the same impact that they were hoping that he would have. And while he's a really smart kid, I think they now look at it as he really is more of a wide receiver than a tight end, even a move tight end. Dobson's coming back. He's had a good start to the offseason, whereas last year he didn't have an offseason because of the surgery. He's a guy they can use as a bigger target. So I just think it was a numbers game for him. I think he'll go on and play for Tampa, and he'll do some things for Tampa. I mean, he's not a 60 or 70 catch guy, but I think he's an NFL player. I think he's proved he's an NFL player, but I don't think that his absence in any way, shape, or form limits what the Patriots can and will do. And don't forget they went out and got Scott Chandler, who is another guy who is, at this point, a lot of his teammates are, hey, he did it to us when he was in Buffalo, and now we're seeing him do it here, and we're seeing the work he puts in, so. Now, 6'7" Chandler, 6'6" Gronkowski. That's quite a little combo in the red zone.
Now, I have to ask you about this, Mike. Our friend Andy Gresh taking a little shot at you on Twitter today. What did you get to the vending machine ahead of him at Comcast? What's going on?
Gresh has always been jealous of my my charm, my good looks, my humor, my knowledge. I mean, it's just a massive jealousy thing with him. And whatever. I try to be nice to him. I try to Gresh, he's a little slow. I try to keep up with him. I try to, bring him up to my level. But every once in a while, that jealousy just rears its ugly head. And there's not much you can do about it. I just have to stay above the fray.
Well, that's it. You just have to tolerate and understand where it's coming from, right?
That's right.
Hey, Mike, it's always great talking with you. We appreciate you making time. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, you too. And make sure you send that clip to Gresh.
It's on the way tonight, going to Hartford as we speak.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Girardi, Comcast SportsNet New England.